May be seated. Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Almighty God, parent of all creation, may your Holy Spirit bless these readings to our understanding so we may exemplify your love in our lives. Amen. And our first scripture reading will be read responsively. Join me. All you who revere God, how blessed you are. How happily you walk on God's smooth, straight road. Your wife will bear children as a vine bears grapes. Your household lush as a vineyard.
The children around your table as fresh and promising as young olive.
Stand in awe of God's yes. Oh, how he blesses the one who reveres God.
Enjoy the good life every day of your life. And enjoy your grandchildren.
This is the word of the Lord.
Now I'd like to call to come sit up front any of the children that are here, and their parents can come along with them too. So if you'd like to come up and have a time with children with me, it would be great to have you all come forward and you can sit with your kids. You can just sit up here in the front row. You want to sit up? You can sit right here. Up. You can come up and sit here in the front row. Parents can come too if it makes it easier for them to come. Come on up. You can sit right here. Yeah. Babies can come also. Well, how are you guys this morning? It's so good to have you here with us. You want to sit over here by your brother? There you go.
I was in preschool last year.
You were? That's great. Here, I'll make a little seat for you. Yeah, that's well. Today we're here to talk about how special you are, and that's very special that you guys are in school. But I also wanted to mention to you about how much Jesus loves you, because Jesus thinks you're very special. And can you tell me why do you think Jesus loves you so much? Why does Jesus love you, Annie? That's good. You raised your hand. Yeah, well, you could do the preaching today. That's very good. Jesus is in your heart. And Jesus loved little children because Jesus thought you were very important. So why are children important? Why do you think you are important?
I'm Connery and Connerita.
Yeah. Yeah, you're very important. Well, God wants you to know that you are so important to God. And God wants you to know that through remembering a song. Did you hear when we sang Jesus Loves Me? Did you hear that a little bit ago?
Yes.
I wondered if you wanted to learn some sign for Jesus Loves Me. Do you want to see some sign language for it?
Yeah!
Okay. Now, can you guys hold your hands up like this? Okay, now can you touch the middle of your hands like this? This is the sign for Jesus. So Jesus, this is the sign for love, and this is the sign for me. So let's try it. Jesus loves me. And then when you say, this I know, you just point to you. What's up here? What's up in your head? It's a brain, isn't it? Yeah, so that's how you know things, right? Okay, so hold your hands up again. See, it's Jesus loves me, this I know. And then this is the sign for Bible. Can you guys start like this and then go out like that? Bible. For the Bible tells me so. And then this is like the sign for tell. Little ones, this is the sign for little. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Can you guys make the sign for strong? This is the sign for strong. I knew you'd like that one. Okay, and then it goes, this is the sign for yes. Can you guys go yes? Yes. Can you make your hand look like a puppet saying yes? Yes. Okay, Jesus loves me. Yes. Jesus loves me. Yes. Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Very good. Well, let's have a little prayer. Loving God, I thank you so much for these children and for Jesus loving them and helping create them and helping them feel important. And so may, as we celebrate our preschool anniversary, may these children have a great celebration and just especially feel your love dwelling in their heart even more today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, Emily has a paper for you, so you can take this paper with you and you can go color it in Sunday school with the Sunday school teachers that are, yeah, good, and they're waiting for you so you can have some fun in Sunday school. Bye-bye. There you go. You can take your paper with you. Our second scripture reading today comes from the book of Mark, chapter 10, verses 13 to 16. Listen now to the word of God. People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now it all started with a child, didn't it? Well, you could say it all started with God and Mary, but the ministry of Jesus really started with him as a child. The angels announced the child's birth. The shepherds left their fields to see him. The Magi brought gifts. King Herod sent killers. Heaven and angels sang, all because of the child. Why a child? Have you ever wondered? Why did God choose to come to earth as a child? If God came to show us how to follow the way of love in action, then why didn't God just come to earth already grown up and ready to build up the kingdom of God with us on earth as it is in heaven? God loves children. So what better way is there to show us that God understands all the struggles that we go through in every stage of our lives, but by experiencing them personally as a child? God went through all the developmental stages just as each of us did. And so that can be reassuring that God can relate to all that we have to go through in this life. Now, the infant God cried out with hunger pains and knew the comfort of suckling at his mother's breast. God even went through the awkward stages of development. He might have had a clumsy stage or even had acne. We don't know. We can only speculate. But we do know that he learned the trade of carpentry as a youngster to help his father, Joseph, in his business. We really don't know that much about the childhood of Jesus, but we do know that it was important to God to come to earth in the form of a child. God wanted us to know the life of a child is precious. Now, there's a story, you may have heard it, about a young soldier in the Union Army who needed to get exemption from the army to help his mother following the loss of his brother and father in the Battle of Gettysburg. He decided to go and ask for help from President Lincoln, but he couldn't get past security at the White House. Dejected, he sat on a bench in the park right outside the White House, and a boy noticed that he was sad and came and just sat beside him. He asked the man what was wrong, and the man told him. And the boy said, "I can help you, soldier. Follow me." The boy led him up to the White House, through the gates, past security, through the offices, into the Oval Office, and right up to the desk of the president. The president peered at the boy and said, "What do you want, Todd?" To which the little boy replied, "This man needs to talk to you, Daddy." So the soldier pled his case before President Lincoln, and right then and there he received the help that he so desperately needed. And all this happened due to the childlike trust of the president's son. Children are naturally trusting until they learn to mistrust. they naturally have this instinct about people. You can tell when a child knows that you love children because they often will gravitate to you or smile at you in the grocery store or just give you a signal that they can tell that you care about them. But in the days of Jesus, kids had very hard lives. Their birthdays were not celebrated because they were not expected to live long. Many were treated like property and sold as slaves. And sadly, this does still happen in some countries today where children are sold to serve in wealthier families. But the Roman army was ruthless with children, and often they would capture a child to work as a slave if a family couldn't pay their taxes. Many children died young due to diseases and malnutrition. And if they made it to age 10, then their average life expectancy during the Roman era was about 40 years old. So people dismissed the importance of children in the days of Jesus. They did not invest in their development or their education like we do today, unless they were very wealthy. Yet Jesus knew they all were important. And he knew the Old Testament scriptures, Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." And Jesus also remembered the prophet Isaiah, who said in Isaiah 54:13, "All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children." And that is what we hope comes from teaching children in Sunday school about the love of God, about the stories of the Bible. We hope that it will bring them a sense of peace, a sense of purpose, a sense of guidance for their lives. And then we see Jesus healing many children in the New Testament during his years of ministry. He didn't just save his healing power for adults. He cured the nobleman's son, if you remember. He healed the widow's son and the ruler's daughter. He cured a boy plagued by seizures. Back then, they thought it was demons. And he fed 5,000 with the help of a small boy who shared his fish and his loaves of bread. And in Acts 2, Luke writes that Peter taught the disciples that the Holy Spirit was promised by Christ, not just to them, but the power of the Holy Spirit was promised by Jesus to their children and to people in distant lands. But yet, even now in our era, the contribution of children to the world and around the world can be still devalued. Disabled children are often viewed as less valuable than able-bodied children. But God wants us to remember that every child is precious. Every child, no matter if they can clearly contribute to society or not, is treasured in the eyes of God. And theologian and philosopher Pablo Casals wrote this beautiful saying that says, "The child must know that he is a miracle, that since the beginning of the world there hasn't been, and until the end of the world there will not be, another child like him." And that's good for us all to remember, our uniqueness. Now, from working in the hospital too as a pediatric nurse and with a husband who's a pediatrician and a researcher, together we have seen many cases where a child's life has a huge impact on others, especially on hospital personnel, even if they live just a few days or a few years. It's amazing the bonding that happens, and if those children die, all the nurses and doctors often will go to the funerals because they've just had such an impression on the people working with them, trying to help them stay alive. And children can contribute to our spiritual lives, too, in many ways as well, when we give them respect and we listen to their wisdom. The purity of children's faith is uncluttered by adult skepticism and analytical thinking. And I like this Doug Adams saying when he says, "Only a child sees things with perfect clarity because it hasn't developed all those filters which prevent us from seeing things that we don't expect to see. Children believe in miracles much easier than adults do. And another quote that explains the ability for children to be pure in their faith in God is by Marianne Williamson. She's often quoted on greeting cards. But she said, children are happy because they don't have a file in their minds called all the things that could go wrong. I love that. So why did the disciples want to stop the children from coming to Jesus? Were they trying to protect his time and space so he would have energy for them, his disciples? We really don't have an explanation for why Jesus' disciples turn the children away, except that they tell them to not bother him. Perhaps they think that Jesus' message is too important for children, a serious message for serious people, too precious to be wasted on parents bringing babies to the rabbi as some kind of religious ritual for happiness and prosperity. Well, it's obvious that the disciples really missed the point that Jesus' message is for all. And it's not just for the childlike, it's for children. Children who, in Jesus' society, were not given value or status. Children who were largely ignored as unimportant until they became of age as adults. And in the upside-down values of Jesus' kingdom, the gospel is good news, first for the poor, for the ignored, and for the disenfranchised, which many children felt like. So as Jesus welcomes children, he gives them status. He notices them. He tells them the greatest honor of all, the kingdom of God, is theirs. And he said, the proud will be humbled, but the humble will be honored. So at its simplest level, this story tells us that Jesus loves and welcomes and blesses children, and so should we. If the gospel is good news at all, then it must be good news for the poor and wherever there is poverty. Children are the most vulnerable, the most abused, and the most at risk of becoming conscripted to be child soldiers and child slaves. It is a tragic fact that about one-third of the world's children live in extreme poverty today. And 30,000 children will die in and from poverty today. 30,000 children will die today. Just like yesterday, just like tomorrow, one child dies every 3 seconds, largely from preventable causes rooted in poverty. Well, this can seem so sad and so hard to grasp, but when you think about just one child that you can have an impact on their lives, maybe it's a child at the breakfast program that comes in and you volunteer to serve them and feed them. Maybe it's a child in the preschool and you want to be like Chuck and volunteer and help them feel good about themselves and play with them and help them feel important and read them stories. I know the children at the high school need you to come over at lunchtime and just be out there while they're eating lunch, an adult presence, a peaceful presence, and a friendship that they can just see is here with them so that the principal, Lori Fong, isn't feeling like there isn't enough people out there with the children at lunch. So she invites all of us to come over whenever we can to be with the children at the high school during lunchtime. Well, I have a few heroes, and I really look up to them. But one of my heroes, who was a poet peacemaker, sadly died at age 13. President Carter gave the eulogy at his funeral. And President Carter said, Rose and I have known kings and queens. We've known presidents and prime ministers, but the most extraordinary person whom I've ever known in my life was Maddie Stepanek. Not every child can temporarily overcome the troubles caused by muscular dystrophy the way Maddie did, but when a child does, It teaches the rest of us that faith in God, which he would say empowered his optimistic attitude towards suffering, made all the difference in the world for him to be able to overcome the challenges that he overcame in his short 13 years. So I want to share Maddie with you, and maybe he'll become one of your heroes too. Here's a short video about this amazing child who embodied Christ in his little disabled body.
You are the sweetest boy. Well, the truth is I've done 4,561 shows, and probably in all of those years of shows that we actually counted, and the years before that, I've developed relationships with maybe three people in all those years, maintained a relationship. Maddie would be the single biggest relationship that ever developed out of a show.
So you've been writing poetry since you were how old?
About three.
And so you started calling it Heart Songs because what?
It was the song in my heart. It was the message in my heart. A heart song doesn't have to be a song in your heart, even talking about love and peace. It can just be your message. It can be your feelings. Some people might even call it a conscience, even though that's not really what it is. It's your message, what you feel you need to do. And
everybody, I didn't know what a strong force he would be as a friend, as a spiritual conduit for me in my life, but I knew that what he had was real. I was glad that I'd said yes to it, because I'd been asked several times about this little boy who wanted to get his poetry on the Oprah show.
But people,
I was resistant to it at first, and when I saw him and met him, my heart melted.
Our heart songs don't need to be the same, because everybody has different ones.
Yes, and that's the beauty. We are a mosaic of gifts, and each of us has our inner beauty, no matter how we look. I mean, you're very beautiful, I know, but it's our inner beauty.
The thing that was so extraordinary to me about Maddie, and I think the thing that other people connected to, is that he had the child's spirit and heart and the energy of youthfulness and inquisitiveness and excitement and wonder about life.
This was your first time flying, coming here too, right?
Yes, it was.
And what was that like for you?
It was amazing for me. I mean, even especially when we had to go through this huge cloud, I saw a cloud coming, and I figured they would just go around it.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I'm surrounded by white stuff, and I felt like I was in this fluffy marshmallow.
In this fluffy marshmallow. That's it.
He was a child, but I quickly began to understand he was a big soul in a little boy's body.
And so may we learn from the children, and may we do all we can to welcome the children here to be with us and go out to where they are to show the love of God. Jesus said, "Do not hinder them. Let the little children come to me." We have much to learn from all kinds of children about faith, hope, and love. So let us always listen and cherish the children, because such as these belong to the kingdom of God. Amen.
Thank you.
may be seated. As we come to our time of the prayer of the people, I just want to mention a few things before we start our litany. We're so happy the Petals for Protein members are here, Bill and Nancy and Chris, who were, you biked how many miles altogether?
370.
Wow, 370 miles to raise money for protein for the Redwood Food Bank. So I'm so...
We made our $20,000 goal.
I knew it. Didn't I say that? I knew they would. $20,000, yeah. So we're very proud of you, and I'm so thankful that you did that. We have another prayer request, though, today, too. Linda Hubbs' father passed away, so we want to pray for Linda Hubbs and the loss of her father. And we do have so many people who our church knows who have passed away recently, so if you would just open your bulletin and look at the part that says, those mourning the loss of friend or family member, we just especially ask for prayers for them on this day. And now we're thankful that we have a young leader here today. He's our projectionist intern. If you've met Marshall Raines before, we're so thankful that Marshall's with us ever since Vacation Bible School this summer. And he's going to lead us now as we read responsively our litany of concerns of children.
Dear Lord, I wish that those that are at war would sit down without weapons and talk about their problems. Then, when the talking is over, they would walk out, shaking hands instead of fighting.
Hear our prayer, Lord.
Dear Lord, your children are in danger. They are fighting a battle with the world filled with right and wrong. They don't know what they are doing, or some do, and are still making the wrong choices. They need a warm place to stay that you provide, a hot meal that you give, and a soft pillow to rest their heads on. But instead of living in the good, they are living in the bad. Help the lost children, Lord.
Hear our prayer, O Lord.
In Mexico, families and kids sit on border crosswalks and beg for money and food. The poverty in Mexico is too high. God, please help the poor in Mexico so their country will be a better place. I pray for them, O Lord.
Hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, the environment is suffering, though we are deaf to its cries. People are suffering so they cannot care for the world. Lord, though problems are many, our environment needs attention too. Help us realize our destruction to our home and help us care for the earth.
Hear our prayer, O Lord.
Please, God, help us to be more compassionate towards our less fortunate brothers and sisters. Help the homeless get back on their feet by giving them food to eat, clothes to wear, and a roof over their heads. We need not to be kind to them and realize that many of the homeless we need to be kind to them and realize that many of the homeless are trying hard, but their attempts are not accepted. Lord, as we pray the prayer you taught us, saying,
thank you.
our benediction, I wanted to remind you that after the benediction, we have the ice cream social, which will be out in the hallway between here and the preschool, and then you're all invited to have a tour of the preschool if you haven't been in there lately to see all the wonderful things that the children can do there in the beautiful facility. We do also have the reception in Bowen Hall, too, at the same time. So today I gave out this special welcome to children in worship, and it has on it one of Maddie Stepanek's poems. So I wanted you to hear Maddie as he reads this poem that he wrote after he was so upset after 9/11.
Anything that may hurt anyone else. We need to be. For our world, we need to stop. Just stop. Stop for a moment before anybody says or does anything that may hurt anyone else. We need to be silent, just silent. Silent for a moment before we forever lose the blessing of songs that grow in our hearts. We need to notice, just notice. Notice for a moment before the future slips away into ashes and dust of humility. Stop, be silent, and notice. In so many ways, we are the same. Our differences are unique treasures. We are a mosaic of gifts to nurture, to offer, to accept. We need to be, just be. Be for a moment, kind and gentle, innocent and trusting, like children and lambs. Never judging or vengeful, like the judging and vengeful. And now let us pray, differently yet together, before there is no earth, no light, no chance for peace.
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of you now and forevermore. Amen.